Hi, everybody. This is Eve Harrow for Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. It is very, very early on February 19th, 2017, the 23rd day of Shvat, 5777. In just a few hours, I'm going to be guiding for the rest of the week the Susie Fishbein Culinary Tour, which I'm really excited about. Third time I've done that. It's just like an awesome week. So hopefully you guys will hear about that next week. So I pre-taped some interviews that I did this week with the organization Camera that I took around on Thursday, that they are the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting from America. They do a great job, and I've been very involved with them for many years on their board here, Perspectiva, in Israel. So I hope you'll enjoy those interviews with Dr. Alex Safian, Richard Becker, Dr. Alan Altman, and of course, Andrea Levin, who started Camera with her husband, Ken, who is, I thought this is so great. They're such wonderful people. And Ken wrote a book. He's a psychiatrist, and he wrote a book years ago called The Oslo Syndrome. And if you haven't read it, you should pick up a copy. You know, that Israel was kind of acting like, I guess you could call it like the abused wife, you know, like just that we deserve all these really bad things to happen to us and for people to hate us. And if anything goes wrong here, it must be our fault. So that's in a nutshell what the book was about. And I think the years have kind of showed that we're just, I don't know, we're just like not comfortable with power, with victory. We just somehow always feel like we can do better, which is definitely true. We could definitely do better, but we don't deserve the rotten stuff that's happened to us. And I think that we are a pretty amazing country, pretty amazing people who are doing wonderful things. So I don't know why there's that attitude like it. Maybe because it's just been so many years, so many centuries of people attacking us for no reason that we can figure out other than that we're Jews, that we just kind of have internalized, gee, there must be something wrong. But there isn't something wrong. And even though we haven't been back in sovereign for even a century yet, we need to start like weeding out those feelings and standing up for ourselves, which is part of what we do here on Land of Israel and some of the people that we bring up here. I've got my trip to the States that's going to be happening in like 3 weeks. I've got it set up. So I'll share with you guys where I'll be. Sacramento, Wednesday, March 15th. Philadelphia over the weekend to hear Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, not speaking there, but if you're in Marion, I would love to see you the weekend, the Shabbat of 17th and 18th. Charlotte, North Carolina on Sunday the 19th. Austin on Monday, March 20th. Chicago on Tuesday, March 21st. St. Louis on Wednesday, March 22nd. And not sure yet where I'll be on Thursday. Could be somewhere in New Jersey, but then Friday until the following Tuesday, I will be at APAC in Washington, D.C. Pretty crazy schedule. If you are in any of these places and you think that you might want to come by and say hi and hear and dialogue a little bit, then drop me a line, eve@thelandofisrael.com, and I'm happy to share with you some more details of where I will be. So enjoy the show, and as always, love to hear your feedback. Hi, everybody. Eve Harrow on Rejuvenation. I am taping this on February 16th on a beautiful, wet, cold, rainy day in Gush Etzion, where I've been privileged to spend a couple of hours with one of my favorite organizations, Camera, the media watchdog Camera, and I am on their Israeli board of Perspectiva. So they've got a great group going around Israel, fact-finding, to make their work more effective. And I'm here with Richard Becker, an architect by profession from Chicago. So, Richard, for you, this is like summer day?
It's amazing being here. Not great weather, but everybody's spirits are up. It's always fantastic being back in Israel. It's rejuvenating for all of us to come back here and just be reminded what our, you know, what our mission is and what it is we're trying to do.
So I've known you for a few years. I've met you when you've come on Camera trips before. Tell me a little bit about the organization and why you're involved with it.
So our mission is really to make sure that the media is fairly and accurately and honestly telling the story of what's going on here in Israel, specifically with attention to the Arab-Israeli conflict, because there's so much misinformation. This whole concept of fake news, which is in the news lately, it's so timely. It really speaks to what this organization is focused on, and that is making sure the journalism industry is being held to high standards, that they're accurately reporting and not letting their biases enter the story when they're trying to tell, you know, the facts, and that they're giving context to the stories, because so much of the misinformation we see, I feel personally, the organization is aware that it impacts on people's impressions, and we want to make sure people have the right information to make good policy decisions. So if they have the information, I'm convinced people will make the right decision. So this is why this is so important to us.
So what's your personal background? I know you come from Chicago. You live in Chicago, which is a very dangerous place. People will sometimes say to me, "Oh, we're scared to come to Israel." I'm like, "But you're from Chicago. How many murders were last weekend in Chicago?"
Who wants to be talking about that, right?
Yeah. So what's your background, and how did you get involved with CAMRA?
My wife and I are both architects. We have 5 children. We live in the North Shore of Chicago. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm 1 of 5. We have 5 children.
It seems to be the number.
It's the number. Around the time of the second Intifada, I began getting more and more concerned, aware that my friends were talking to me about what they thought about Israel and how Israel was behaving. And I began to realize that there was just so much misinformation, and that so many of my friends who were well-educated people that should know better were reaching really bad decisions, I think, based on the way that the media was telling the story. They weren't in Israel. They weren't understanding what was happening here. And they were reading a lot of publications, not to bash any in particular, but publications like the New York Times that's so subject to bringing their editorial biases to the front page. You know, they're not letting the opinions happen on the op-ed pages. They're bringing it to the front page, but they're not being honest about it. And it's not just the New York Times. There's a lot of publications that are that way. So I began to kind of have this awareness about what was happening, and I got connected with CAMRA, and I've been a board member for many years, and it's really one of my favorite organizations. And on a very shoestring budget, they have an amazing impact on the entire international journalism community. They really hold the community to high standards, and these organizations over time understand that the journalists are being watched by other people. You'd think it would be enough that they're journalists and they would take their craft seriously, but no, they need to be watched themselves. And it's really made a lot of them do their job better. So I feel like, you know, they get a lot of a very high return on their on our dollar. So
had you spent time in Israel? Like, why did you know the truth as opposed to
other people? Who the heck am I? Anyway?
No, but like so many people just go with the current political wisdom, which is Israel is apartheid state and doing terrible things to the Arabs. And there's certain people who are saying, whoa. What made you see it differently?
It was a combination of 9/11 and the Intifada and this awareness. I don't know. Maybe it's as I was approaching middle age and my kids were getting older. I just like stepped back and I realized, wait a minute, I've really been understanding this not so accurately. And I took a few different trips here. I came here with a group of friends during the Intifada. JUF, which is a big organization in Chicago, they had canceled all their Israel trips. And so I called them up and said, I want to come to Israel. I have a half dozen friends. You wouldn't by any chance put a group together for 6 people, because you do like groups of 50 and 100. And the woman said, you know what, we've canceled all of our trips, but if you want to go, we're going to put together a group, you know, for the 5 of you. So I invited a bunch of buddies of mine, and that event in 2003 was like very transformative for me. And I came to Israel, and people were coming up to me on the street and hugging me and thanking me for being here. And it was kind of an evolution for me. But now I'm very committed to what CAMRA's work is. I'm also involved with organizations like Stand With Us and some others as well, that I feel American Jewry is, for all their prosperity, they're very under and uneducated. And they really need to be educated and be made aware of what's really happening here. So I do a blog called Architect Guy, where I put up news stories every day telling what I think is, you know, different stories that are not being properly reported in the mainstream media. That's kind of a side project of mine in addition to running an architecture firm.
So how about your kids? 5 kids, I assume some of them
go
to college. One's an architect. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
But how about in terms of like the college campuses? I assume some of your kids have been on campuses. That's been a major issue in the last few years.
Yeah.
How do you see that?
I mean, I guess this is probably pretty typical. Our kids don't share some of the political beliefs that we have. But I have seen, unfortunately, I've seen some evolution in our children. And they're not being as committed in some ways, as my wife and I are to Israel, not feeling as connected. I'm giving them time, and I think, you know, that might be an evolution for them.
Right.
None of them are anti, you know, but it's not like I am. But, you know, maybe I'm an outlier.
I think they also get affected by the campuses and by some of the things around them.
I think it's been a very negative environment they've been in. We have kids that have all been educated. Four of our five have been educated in the East Coast schools, some of them very elite. And I think they're immersed in this kind of, you know, environment that it's very hard to, like, keep detached and objective, mm-hmm. because they get it from every side, and then you have peer pressure and their professors, and you've got the newspaper, and I mean it's like a full court assault on them.
Now you're going to Societe to see you'll meet Josh Haston there.
I mean, all week we've been just meeting with different people in the worlds of journalism and academia and some government people. We were at the Knesset yesterday, and we're just kind of like taking the pulse every time we come here. We come yearly, and with just that, the whole week that we're here, we're just meeting with lots of interesting people like yourself, mm-hmm. and just getting a feel for what's happening here. And it's always just so rejuvenating for us. And I'm always struck every year with how idealistic this whole society here is. It's very energizing for us to be back here. I understand why people are drawn to this place, whether they're Jewish, Christian, whatever, Muslim. It's just, it's a magical environment, mm-hmm. this country.
Well, anything else?
Any of your fine work.
Thank you. Richard Becker from Chicago, here as part of the camera mission to Israel. Okay, so my next victim here is Alan Altman, Dr. Alan Altman, one of the board members of CAMRA. Great to be with you, Alan.
A pleasure to be here, Eve.
So where are you hailing from?
I am from Aspen, Colorado, although I spent about 35 years in Boston and then moved to Aspen. I still practice. I'm a consultative gynecologist for menopause and sexual dysfunction. That's all I do. And
okay.
It's a lot of fun.
I can imagine. So how are you feeling about the CAMRA trip? This is not your first trip with CAMRA.
No, it's not my first trip with CAMRA, and it's probably the 10th time we've been to Israel. It's my country, too, and it's good to be home. We come here as often as we can. CAMRA is just such an important organization in the States and now here in Israel, too, and also in South America, to get the truth out by correcting what is erroneously written.
So what do you do back home? Like, is there a big pro-Israel community in Aspen? You come here, you're on this fact-finding mission, you're meeting the top-of-the-line people while here in Israel. CAMRA is invited everywhere. And then you go home to Aspen, and what do you do with that?
I specifically make very good use of these trips and the people we meet, because I like to feel that I'm charged with bringing in speakers to Aspen, which has a good-sized Jewish community, mm-hmm. About 60% of which is a very liberal, progressive Jewish community, and I bring in speakers to help them learn what the reality is. I've brought in speakers such as Caroline Glick, Khaled Abu Tome, John Bolton, Phyllis Chesler, who's one of the people who talks about where is the feminist community on what's going on in these countries. Why aren't we saying anything about it?
I interviewed Phyllis a couple years ago. She's amazing. Carolyn is a friend, and Khaled's an incredible guy. It's quite a lineup.
And also recently brought in Philippe Carsanti with the Mohammed Ondura affair. Also, Melanie Phillips, Anne Bayevsky from the UN. Aspen has very intelligent people. And you bring in an Anne Bayevsky, and she talks about the UN. Mm-hmm. And people come up to me afterwards and say, I had no idea the UN was that biased. So you wonder, where have these people been? Mm-hmm. And it reinforces the reason why we need to keep bringing in top people like that. Also because in Aspen you have the very left-leaning Aspen Institute, which is world-renowned, brings in leaders from all over the world And they always fail to bring in some of the right people who will speak for Israel or who will speak for conservative issues. And so this is kind of the little institute bringing these people in and embarrassing the institute to bring more people in like that.
They're holding their feet to the fire in snowy Aspen. Okay, thank you so much.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Okay, so I'm now with Alex Safian, whom I've known for a long time. Brilliant writer, and he'll tell you what he does for camera. Well, it's great to see you again, Alex, here on the side of the pond.
Great to see you, Eve.
So what is your exact job description?
I am the Associate Director and Research Director at CAMERA, which is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America, the first, largest, and I think the best Middle East Media Watch group in the world.
So what are your challenges now? You know, people are talking about a Trump administration and things are going to change. Do you see things getting easier for you when it comes to, like, the media watchdog that you are, or the other side might even get a little more desperate and a little more out there, and it's just going to get harder for you?
When the media sticks to its job, I think it makes it easy for us. When the Western media becomes more like, say, the British media, which is very much advocacy journalism, in which reporters are supposed to take sides and communicate to the reader who's right and who's wrong rather than let the reader decide or the viewer decide for themselves, then it becomes more difficult. And unfortunately, that seems to be what's happening. You're getting more and more advocacy journalism in the United States, for example. You have it here with Haaretz all the time, and the New York Times is becoming much more like that. The Guardian and the Independent in the UK are notorious for that. Unfortunately, the American press is becoming more like that.
So what's your biggest challenge in your particular job in CAMERA?
I would say trying to get the media to follow their own guidelines that they claim to follow. They have codes of ethics that sound really, really good. The problem is they don't always follow them. We have a phenomenon now with President Trump where the media has decided that they need to check every single allegation, assertion made by President Trump and his administration. They do all kinds of fact-checking. Suddenly, the media is interested in facts. Now, under previous administrations, especially the last 8 years, not in a partisan way I say this, but just as a media analyst, there seemed to be very little interest in facts. Now, suddenly, they're very interested in facts, and they're very interested in opposing fake news. And yet, so much of the coverage that we've seen from the New York Times and from other media from the Middle East, from Israel, was nothing but fake news for years and years and years. So now, suddenly, they're concerned about fake news. Now, will that work to our advantage or not?
Yes. Is that a good thing, ultimately?
I think we're going to try to hold them to it. We're going to say, look, if you're fact-checking what President Trump says, why don't you start fact-checking what Palestinian advocates have to say? I must say, though, this morning I was watching CNN, and they were interviewing a Palestinian-American professor named Sareem Mekdisi, and he was just saying the most nonsensical things and never got challenged once by the CNN interviewer. I think it was Michael Holmes. He never challenged him once. Apartheid, land theft, water theft, et cetera, the usual nonsense, easily disproved. Never challenged, just gave him a platform on CNN. So we'll see. They need to be held to account. That's what we're here to do, is to try to hold them accountable, try to hold them to their own standards. They say, of course, we're interested in facts. We're only factual. We're only interested in getting out the truth. That's not how they operate. So we try to get them to live up to their own standards.
So while you're here in Israel, what do you, like, enjoy the most? Just the meetings with different people, getting out, both, either?
Well, yeah, it's both. It's always nice to get out and see the land and meet the people and see how things have changed from the last year. We come here every year on a fact-finding mission with our board and some of our staff and meet with our office in Jerusalem where we have 7 or 8 people working full-time. And so it's always good to meet new people and to get new sources of information and to, you know, find things out. CAMERA is fact-based. We are the most traditional sort of journalism where you stick to the facts and let the reader decide on the basis of the facts. And so to do that, we have to know the facts. And so that's what we come here for as part of that is finding new sources of information, finding good sources of information. Later on this week, we will be meeting with some journalists, Western journalists, having an exchange of views with them, as the diplomats say. We'll have a frank exchange of views, I'm sure, but I think it'll be helpful.
Thank you so much, Alex Safian. Great to see you here. I am so happy to be here with my old friend, Andrea Levin, one of the founders and executive president of CAMRA. Great group that you brought to Israel this year.
Yes, we had this is our 22nd trip, 22nd year. We came twice in 2000 during the terror war. One was a solidarity trip. Other than that, it's been every February for all those years. The country's always wonderful. It's always an exhilarating and renewing experience, and we have a wonderful group this year. We see old friends and new friends. We learn a lot. We gather information. Mm-hmm. It's really been the original purpose of this. And we establish connections and relationships that we tap into all year long when we're away. And we come to visit our own office and staff, our professional staff here, which is growing. And we're very excited about that and very proud of what they're doing. So that's really what happens every February for 22 years.
And I usually get to see you. And it's wonderful. Like today, we went around Gush Etzion, and you said to me, we want to see, where is the building going on? What are they talking about when they're talking about the wall around Bethlehem? There's really no, Bethlehem's not walled in. And you see it for yourselves, and then you maintain your credibility. I know from here you're going down to Susia in the southern Hebron Hills, because that's been in the news a lot. And I think it's great. So many different people have opinions about Israel without knowing what they're talking about. And you guys make sure that you are seeing and hearing and speaking to the experts all the time.
Well, Susia is a real concern. People, I'm sure, here don't understand or begin to comprehend that J Street, for example, has decided to make, last year, made the whole issue of Susia and the allegation that Israel is violating the rights of Arabs who have built structures there, and that they've during Sukkot last fall, J Street and J Street campus organizations actually used the building of a sukkah at various campuses, at Stanford, at WashU St. Louis, and others, to actually turn the holiday into an occasion to promote the claims of the Arabs of Susia. Yes, just think about that. So we're going there to learn. See for ourselves, learn about this, make sure that people understand what the facts are.
That's fantastic. Wow, WashU, that's my alma mater. That's pretty shocking. Okay, I will be right back. All right, everybody, have a great week. Remember to check your facts. Remember to be on top of things, right? We have no excuse if we let these things go by. Check out CAMRA's website. It's easy. CAMRA.org. It's unbelievable how many things are on that site, how many articles. Also, there's this, they've got their Hebrew version, as I said, Perspectiva, which I'm part of, where they keep tabs on the BBC, on the United Kingdom Media Watch, also Revista. There are some people in Spain. And unfortunately, in Hebrew, there's a lot to do. We've got our own nasty newspaper here, Haaretz, which has just done so much to turn people against Israel. It's unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable. Anybody who says that Israel doesn't have free press hasn't read Haaretz, okay? Because this newspaper just loves to take it all down. Anyhow, a lot of food for thought today, and I'm heading into a foodie week. So have a great one, everybody. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. Goodbye, everybody. Be back soon. Bye for now.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center. The view, the location, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
When I was growing up, I would read the books in the second half of the Old Testament, and sometimes I would get a little bit lost in all those prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on. That all changed the day I stepped foot in the land of Israel. As I harvested grapes and olives and more on the mountains of Samaria, the words of the prophets came to life right before my very eyes. Today, you could be a part of this phenomenon too. I am Caleb Waller, and I'm inviting you to step into the pages of prophecy by joining us in Israel. Go to our website, that is hayuvel.com. HAYOVEL.com to connect to this amazing opportunity.